All right, I want to give you a word and just look at somebody and go, I'm going to advance. Just tell them I'm going to advance. Oh, come on, that was weak. I'm going to advance. You're going to advance. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to advance whether you like it or not. And so I want to tell you this in motion. You are in motion. God has entered into you through Jesus Christ, and you have a message to proclaim. There is a purpose that's already been placed in you. And so maybe we need to reexamine some things. Maybe instead of looking for our purpose, I don't think there's anything wrong with that, but maybe we've spent too much time looking for our purpose instead of releasing our promise. You know, I don't think God's really concerned about, the little decisions that we make on what we need. I see people that have never done anything for 50 years of their life because they're so worried they might do something wrong. You know, in wherever you are, may the gospel be advanced. Now, I want to show you this. Wherever you are, may the gospel be advanced, okay? So for the first word that we got to grab onto to today is I want you to just examine this in your life. What are you convinced of? Convinced of. What are you convinced of? You know, very few people in this world today are convinced. Paul, the apostle that writes these words at the church of Philippi, he writes them from prison. How many of you all would just be like, oh man, gee, it's a great day. This is the day the Lord's made. I'm in jail. I don't think we really would. Now, we say we would, but we really wouldn't. Convinced. Young people, y'all are great. Y'all are awesome. God's doing something in your midst. I mean, a switch has turned in the last 9 months, and I want to recognize that. I believe personally, and even after yesterday, I was more convinced of it. God is putting his hands, not on every 20, 30-something, but on those who are willing to be convinced, and y'all are going to do some amazing, radical things. Now, here's where it gets different with God. It doesn't take everybody to do a whole lot of good. It takes a few faithful, absolutely convinced. Alice, thank you for your testimony, sister. You like that? Sister in Christ. Man, what an overwhelming testimony. You know what that shows me? We don't ever give up. Some of y'all were gone, Lord have mercy. Alice, now she's not 9 years old. What do y'all think? I'm not going to tell you how old she is because I'm from the South and you don't mention a woman's age. You say, dear honey, okay, and that means seasoned. But guess what? She's lived a few decades. But guess what she became convinced of? Jesus Christ would forgive her of her sin, and Jesus Christ would take her on, and now she can proclaim these words and sing that old hymn. I have decided. Anybody know that hymn? I have decided to follow Jesus, an old one that works. I have decided to follow Jesus. I'm convinced of one thing. Who? Jesus. Now, this sounds weird talking to a group of people who decided to come to church today. But you know what? We're not very convinced of Jesus. And in the church, we get convinced of a lot of other things. We get convinced of our methodology. We get convinced of our fellowship. We get convinced of our little program. One of the things that I do as pastor. How many of y'all realize that everybody's ministry here, it depends what ministry you're a part of, and there's hundreds of ministries here, but every one of you think yours is the most important. And I'm glad you do, because I want you to minister in it that way. But guess what? It takes all of them to make it work. It takes all of them to make it work. How many of y'all understand that? But you think yours is the what? Like if you're in university ministry, what's the most important ministry? Yeah, university ministry until you strangely find yourself one day in senior adult ministry. And then what'll be the most important ministry? Yeah. And if you're married, then what's the most important ministry? And if you're single, then what's the most important ministry? Now you get my point. That's not what we're convinced of. We must move from being convinced on how to do it to be convinced about who's doing it. The gospel is personal. Now here at Hillview, let me know, those of you that are visiting today, you're going to hear this today. This is what we believe in. If you come back next week, you're going to hear it again. And the week after that, and everybody in this church has been hearing this for 24 years. I want you to know I've had people leave this church because I won't shut up about this. But you're going to hear it every Sunday, okay? The only way to heaven, the absolutely only way to heaven, the absolutely only way to understand God is you must understand that God came to us. and him coming to us has a name, Jesus. Jesus is God's only son, born of a virgin, death on a cross, resurrected from the dead 3 days later, and coming again someday. How many of y'all believe that's the gospel? Now, we talk about it, we preach it, we sing about it. I'm not coming off the gospel. I've had people share with me, well, Pastor Steve, we just got to leave Hillview. We need something deep. Let me tell you how deceived these people are. They're willing to trade in the precious gospel for some pop psychology preacher. And you know what you want me to do? You want me to make you feel good for the moment. Just in case you all are wondering, I don't care how you feel. That is absolutely the most overrated theory that we've ever plugged into. That theory has cost us billions of dollars. It's and let me tell you what, if we continue on, it will cost us the nation as we know it. Over one simple principle, I want to feel good. So if you're looking for James Brown Church, you're in the wrong church. You know, the James Brown, I feel good, that church does not exist here. Because that church will not advance. That church will not advance. Because when it's about you, it stays where you are. That's the reason we got a bunch of churches running around here, about 100 members, and they don't touch the place. They're unwilling to reach the world because the gospel's about them. The gospel's not about us. The gospel is about Jesus. How many of y'all are that far along? Say, let's go. That far along. The gospel's about Jesus. Now, what does Jesus desire? Jesus desires that you would be forgiven. How many of y'all are excited about that? That God actually does forgive his people. I'm excited about the gospel. I believe in the gospel. I'll take it for the gospel. I'll stand for the gospel. I'll stay with the gospel. Church is not necessarily the gospel. Being a Baptist, that won't get you very far. In case you Methodists are getting excited, that won't get you very far either. In case you Presbyterians think you're predestined to be there, it won't get you as far as you think. The only thing that'll get you there is Jesus Christ, crucified, resurrected, and coming again. Jesus was sent by God. He is God. He is God's way. He is God's truth. He is God's life. He is God's connection point. He is God's everything. He's the beginning and the end and the everything. And that God, Jesus Christ, advances through us no matter where we are. So I want to thank you all for ministering here because guess what? Every one of those ministries exposes Jesus. Some of you are here today, and guess what? You were brought here today by a friend because they love you enough. They're convinced enough you hear the gospel, Jesus might come into your life and forgive you of your sins and be saved. I just want you to know, Hillview, we're committed about that. I know some of y'all think that I'm rude when you come to me and you want to start, you know, carpet cleaning ministry because you believe you can make some money on the side and glorify Jesus. You know, listen, let's preach Jesus Christ crucified and resurrected. Let's do what we're called to do and may Jesus be seen in everything that we do. You understand the plan? We need all of you. University ministers, guess what? I know y'all went to some seminar, laid in the field somewhere and felt the Holy Spirit. And he told you to be a missionary. Let me tell you where your missionary appointment is today. Western Kentucky University. I would be fully committed to everybody on my dorm floor knowing that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. I would start with the room with me. That'd be my roommate. And I bet it'll spread down the hall and then it'll go through the dorms, then it'll get on the campus, and then it'll go to the world. And I said, Pastor Steve, I don't like that. That doesn't have a lot of your glory in it, doesn't it? You won't be invited to some Bible study group to say, well, I was in booty, 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 some country you can't even pronounce. And you can't speak their language and you know not their culture. But that sounds dramatic talking to somebody else. See, that sounds more dramatic than, well, I shared the gospel to my roommate. They were from Brownsville. And they said they believed in Jesus and received Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And now they're headed on to heaven forever. Let me tell you what, the glory of God is the same anywhere in the world. Somebody understand what I'm trying to say. So the gospel needs to be advanced where you are. Let's start there today. The gospel needs to be advanced where you are. Now, here's what's amazing. Guess where Paul is? Prison. Prison. I told you last week, this is the only time in my life that I've seriously felt like one day I may get locked up for telling you what I'm going to tell you today. Don't y'all be all mad about that. I could have got locked up for some other things that I should have been locked up for. But you know what? If I get locked up for preaching Jesus Christ, I hope I act just like Paul. If I get locked up for preaching the gospel, then may the guards get saved. May the jailer get saved. May the people that bring the food in get saved. May the people that want to beat me get saved. May the people that punish me get saved. May the judge that I go before get saved. You see what I'm saying? When you get with Jesus and you're convinced, he'll advance the gospel no matter where you are. How many of y'all are thankful for that? No matter where you are. That's what's in you. Now, here's what we got to wake up to, guys. We got to wake up on this. Listen, we've had enough being nice. It's now time to be powerful. And so I want to pray this week in the name of Jesus, may the gospel come out of you and may it get on somebody near you. So if you don't mind, just tell somebody, I want this to be interactive today. I'm going to let the gospel out this week. Go ahead and tell them that. I'm going to let the gospel. I'm going to let the gospel out. I'm going to let the gospel out. God help GM this week. We got a lot of people that work at GM here. What if the gospel got out all over GM? You think this new Corvette looks good? Wait till the next one with the gospel all over it comes out. Let the gospel what? Let it out. Let the gospel what? Let it out of you. Now that's in everything. If you're married, what should be let out? Leonard. Gospel. If you're single, what should be let out? If you're attempting to get a date, what should be let out? If you've been rejected on the date, what should be let out? Well, that got awful quiet. No, what does it look like if somebody says no? The gospel still advances. Now, how many of y'all are glad? Watch, this is a radical way to live, guys. The gospel doesn't depend on your situation. Ah, that gets exciting. Now, if I feel bad, Jesus still goes on. But you see, we've run our church by how people feel instead of what Jesus said long enough. Jesus doesn't do this. Survey says. In fact, you know what? I'm amazed at this. Jesus not one time asked the disciples, very rarely, he did a couple times, he asked them, well, who do they say that I am? But Jesus never asked the disciples this. What do you think I ought to do? You know what I'm saying, Wilson? He never asked, I need to take a vote on here to see what we need to do. I'd like your all's opinion on what we need to do. Jesus doesn't need our opinion because guess what? Here's the good news about being God. You already got it figured out. How many of y'all glad to know God's got it already figured out? Now, this is the word today. Let it get in you. I'm convinced that Jesus' gospel is greater than where I am. Look what happens to Paul. I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. Now, wait a minute. Let's claim that testimony in our lives. I want you to know that what has happened to me has served to advance the what? David, you go in every country imaginable. You've been in 5 different countries in 5 years. Guess what's been in every country with you? Jesus. The gospel. And you've been even in some countries that you would get arrested if you mentioned the gospel, but who was still in you? Jesus. How many of y'all realize that there are about 55, 60 countries that you can't mention the name of Jesus? Right now, you need to give thanks. We're not one of them. We would have been one of them, but there was some God-fearing, praying people, and thank God we got enough people still standing that the gospel can be heard. The gospel, yeah, you need to praise God for that. Some of you come from those countries that you can't mention the gospel. I remember entering a country that's controlled by a very peace-loving, tolerant religion. And I was greeted at the border with this rule of thumb. They said, hey, listen now, you say anything about Jesus here, they'll shoot you. I said, really? And they said, no, really, you can't even be goofing off. They'll shoot you. And then finally the guy said, in a big mouth like you, you're an easy target. He said, what'd you do? I whispered the name of Jesus. Why are you like you are? Well, I follow Jesus. Isn't it interesting? Are you convinced that the gospel works? You see, I'm still amazed. I don't know why everybody's so anti-gospel. Have you noticed that? They're anti-Jesus. You can talk about every other religion. You can talk about every other philosophy. You can talk about other technique, methodology. But when it comes to Jesus, everybody gets upset. Tom, I got friends of mine, they don't believe in Jesus. They don't believe that God exists. But yet plastic Jesuses at Christmas time absolutely tear them up. I mean, you just show them a plastic Jesus in a manger, and I mean, they have heart attacks, everything else, sweat. I mean, they're dying. So I had one of my atheist friends, he called me and said, what do you think about our sign we put up on Times Square? I said, I love it. He goes, you love it? He goes, you're not mad? I said, no, I'm not mad at what you all espouse. He said, well, why are you not mad? I said, it's not true. See, the only reason you get mad at the gospel, even a plastic Jesus has got enough truth in it that it convicts you to protest. I said, and that's a plastic Jesus. Imagine what the real one would do. How many of y'all realize that even a plastic Jesus has got testimony in it? Anybody with me? Plastic Jesus terrify atheists. Shepherds bring them into shock at Christmas. One silent night song and they're devastated. You know what? They're more convinced of the gospel than most of you all. They're convinced if somebody hears Silent Night, they might become a Christian. They're convinced if somebody looks into a manger, they might be convinced that Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose from the grave. The atheists are convinced that if you hear the name of Jesus in school, in prayer, you might be saved. You know what? They're right. It's that powerful. Here's where they err in their thinking. They think they can stop the gospel. Well, they're going to line up in a long list of people that tried to stop the gospel. The Romans tried to stop the gospel. I believe you visit the Roman ruins today. The Ottoman Empire tried to stop the gospel. Didn't happen. They crashed and fell. Britain has tried to run the gospel out now, and it's coming back in resurge. No nation, no political philosophy, no educational philosophy, no methodology has crushed the resurrection since the day Jesus stepped out of the tomb. Because let me give you good news. The gospel is unstoppable. So the gospel's not asking you, the gospel doesn't need me to show it. The gospel needs me to believe it, be convinced of it. And the gospel says, guess what? I'm going to show through you. I'm going to show through you. How many of y'all would be willing this week to let the gospel show through you? So you know what I'm asking you to do? Care. Let's look at the second thing Paul did. I'm going to give you three C's today. You got to be convinced first, though. If you're not convinced, it ain't going to happen. You can sit in church from now until Jesus blows the trumpet. And if you're not convinced, you're not going to do anything about it. Let me tell you who does things about people, people that are convinced. Convinced. Scariest man in the world is the one you stand up against and he doesn't say anything. You say, well, we can go outside, and here's all he says. Let's go. You're going to get whipped. Don't ever worry about the dude talking and mouthing, because he's trying to convince himself that he can. It's the most scary thing in the world. Let's go. You know what that means? He's thoroughly convinced that you're in trouble. You know what? We need to quit yelling at the world and start proclaiming the gospel to the world. Now, I'm going to ask you to do this. Tell people about Jesus. Show people Jesus. But I'm going to ask you to do something. If you're obnoxious, I'm going to ask you lovingly in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to quit being obnoxious. Drop all your religious slogans, take your t-shirts off, cut your What Would Jesus bracelets off, and just do what he would do. That's what the world's looking for. We don't need another billboard. We don't need another Christian slogan. You don't need to tattoo crosses on the bottom of your feet. You just need to live out the gospel that's in you. That's radical. You know what's radical? Stay married. You know what's radical? Actually raise your children. You know what's radical? Keep a job. You know what's radical? Pay your taxes and just pay your taxes. You know what's radical? To love your neighbor. You know what's radical? To be supportive and make sure. And guess what? If we had thousands of people doing that, guess what would happen? Everything in the world would change as we know it. Be the gospel. It works. Paul knew it worked. He said, listen, don't worry about me being in jail. Don't worry about me being locked up, because let me tell you what locked up's done. Locked up has served to advance the gospel. Man, may that be your heartbeat. I take a breath so the gospel might be advanced. I live so that you might know Jesus. I live so that others might know Jesus. Man, if we had our whole church doing that, do y'all think it would get crazy in this city? Andrea, I want this to be our, this has been somewhat of our reputation, but I want it to be so even more and more. Don't go to Hillview, you'll get saved. Don't go in there. Don't go in there, you'll be full of joy. You go in there, you'll come out. And if you're depressed, don't go in there, you'll be healed. If you're blind, you'll see. If you're lame, you'll walk. Some of you are going, well, everybody'd want to be healed. Baloney. Americans love being sick. Some of you would have nothing to tweet about if your problems were gone. And then you all even think we care about hearing your problems. What is it with this Twitter thing? Location, I'm on the bathroom. Who cares? We don't need a play-by-play of your life. Y'all really think you're celebrities. You think you're like, what's that long-legged girl with a dog used to run around? What's it, blonde? Paris Hilton. What has she done? Been born rich. Yeah. I mean, that's where we are. Can you imagine if we got as superstar excited about Jesus as we do our celebrities, what would happen? Yeah, advance the gospel. That's what Paul said. Let me tell you what happened. He said, I'm so excited. I'm in jail here, and the guards have been won to Christ. He said, the gospel's being advanced so that it has become to be known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest of my imprisoned. It is for Christ. My whole imprisonment is for Christ. Can you imagine that? I wouldn't be saying that. I'd be griping. I'm so weak at times. If they throw me in jail for preaching the gospel, I'd be like, oh, Lord, yeah, that's real cute, God. Oh, great. Here I am trying to serve you and follow you and tell other people about you, and you got me locked up down here in Warren County Regional. Mm-hmm. Well, God, how's the world going to know you while I'm sitting down here? When I should say, hey, Lord, I want to thank you. Now the jailer's gotten saved. My cellmate got saved. The dude that was all on drugs, he's saved now. Lord, the guy that's been knocking off men in March, he's got saved. The girl that's been running an organization that helps entertain other men, that's been shut down. Lord, you've done a lot of work in this jail today. The gospel's that powerful. So if I get locked up this afternoon, y'all want to start tweeting and talking about it. You ought to say, mate, now here's, if I got put in jail, there'd be a lot of them. About time. Should have, he did it. Whatever it was, he did it. He's guilty. Yeah, that's the way we humans do, but guess what? God overrides us. Paul said, you know what? The gospel being advanced. Now, I want you to know, be convinced that Jesus is Lord, that he's true, that he saves people. Care enough to share it with somebody else. How many of y'all want other people to go to heaven with you? Amen. Let's get that bad about it, all right? Listen, I want y'all to start getting tore up about that. That means this, you got to invite people to come to church with you. Here's the cool thing about Hillview. If you invite people to come here, a lot of them get saved. Now, I'm not going to say everybody gets saved because y'all going to invite some knotheads here that just go, no, I ain't going to let Jesus save me no matter what. I'm going to hell. I'm going to hell, but I'm going by myself. I did it my way. Here I am roasting and cooking and having a big time, but I did it all on my own. I'm a self-made hot dog. Now, hold on. We call those people brilliant. We're mesmerized by them. We say they're super intelligent. I just don't think it's too smart when God says, hey, listen, I'll forgive you of your sin. I'll come into your life. I'm going to connect you to the kingdom of heaven, and you're going to live forever. I think it's a great decision to say, you know what, Lord? I'm a sinner, and I need you in my life, and I need to be forgiven, and I need to be changed forever. I think that's an awesome decision. I think that has superior intelligence to this decision. I'm going to believe that I've evolved from a molecule and still evolving and will keep on evolving to a gaseous species that will be reformed somewhere out in eternity. And you think, I got a stretch? But that sounds sophisticated. That doesn't sound sophisticated like me. That sounds to me like somebody got a hold of some good dope and made something up. This sounds much better. The God that made us came to us, has forgiven us, and loves us, so change us and never let us go, no matter where we're from on the globe. Here's why I'm convinced. I've seen it. I've seen your life change. I've seen my life change. I've seen lives change. I love being at Hillview. We got people from all over the world. And watch this. I've seen people at Hillview. I've even been able to try to talk to them. And they speak another language. But once I get to the cross and resurrection, I don't know what God does, but they understand it. Because I start speaking spirit. And spirit advances in spite of us. Aren't you glad? Do you care? Well, if you care, we're going to give our time, our money, our effort, our song, whatever we've been given, may it advance the gospel. Y'all hear that? That ought to start rattling your cage. God, let me advance the gospel. Quit worrying about where you are and start being who God made you where you are. And preach no matter what. Paul goes on, he said, there's a bunch of them preaching. There's a bunch of them preaching today. And I'm going to start with this. Until you're convinced, until you care, you'll never be committed. So you can go to all the committed seminars you want to, and you can get commitment methodology, and you can sign commitment cards, and you can talk about commitment and dedication, but if you're not convinced he's Lord, and you don't care about anybody else, you're not going any further. And then you'll start doing stuff like this. Well, God told me. Well, let me ask you a question. When are you going to do the first thing he asked you? All these advanced Christians I've had at Hillview. Well, I need something deeper. I said, really? I've never seen you in the baptistry with a friend. Not one time in 20 years. And you call yourself a mature Christian? You ain't even on 055. You haven't even asked a friend to believe. You don't even know the heart of God. The heart of God. The heart of God. The desire of God. Garrett knows it because ever since he was a little kid, his lead pastor has made sure he knows the heart of the God he worshiped. Is that all might be what? Saved. If you ain't into seeing people get saved, you in a wrong church. You fought. Jesus is into that. I don't want to hear anything else. I mean, there's nothing else more important to God. Paul never preached a sermon that said, how to make you feel better in the morning. Apostle Paul. 10 effective steps of following Jesus in your business. Paul never preached that sermon. He never preached a sermon. Your marriage blessed upside down, inside out to the glory of God. Now, he gave an order to marriage that bless you. Paul never talked about his feelings nor ours. He talked about a Jesus that changes everything. Amazing, guys. Do you care? Are you convinced of the gospel? Do you care about others? And here's the third thing. Are you willing to commit no matter what? Paul said the gospel works no matter who preaches it. I say amen. Look at here. Some preach out of a pure heart. Some are scoundrels. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. I'm going to ask you to do something, guys. Tell them about Jesus and don't be obnoxious. Quit trying to convince people. Just show them. If they ask you how, you know, Garrett, if they ask you, well, how you and Jacqueline have a good life? We're followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's forgiven us of our sin, and we have a better marriage because of that. Well, I don't believe that makes a difference. You're entitled to your belief, but we believe it does, and we're going to live it out. Maybe that's why you've been single for 45 years. See, here's one of the things the world hates. You ready for this? Evidence. Evidence drives them crazy. How many of you all have a better life because you invited Jesus Christ to put his life over yours? How many of you actually got a better life? I didn't say easier. I'm not going to lie to you. If you've ever heard a preacher tell you because you follow the Lord Jesus Christ, you're never going to get sick, he lied. Apostle Paul got sick, but the gospel got through. You see the difference? Are you going to die? Yes. But the question is not, are you going to die? The question is, are you going to live after you die? Reverend Johnson, isn't that the question, brother? And guess what? Every one of you in Christ is going to live it. Tommy, thank you for getting the gospel to a campus of thousands of people. Stay at it, brother. And if they arrest you and I, they'll probably put you in the good behavior section and they'll put me in chains. But the gospel will be advanced no matter where we are. Once you see this, we're finishing up right here. You listen. Some indeed preach, verse 15. They preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I'm put here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. Whatever then? What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. If that's simple, and if that's elementary, and if that's not sophisticated enough for you, I really don't care, because that's what works. We've been sophisticated, we've been intellectual, we've been philosophical. I don't know about you. Evidence in. It looks like things aren't going well. What's your all's observation? What do you think? Downhill, Mark, I'm with you. And then here's what's so sad. The church went along with the world. And guess what? A lot of my colleagues quit preaching. Jesus. And they got married to an element of the faith instead of the person of the faith. His name is Jesus. You stay in love with him, guess what's happening? You're going to tell somebody, you're going to show somebody, and you're going to be committed that everybody will hear about him. That makes sense? I'm calling on us to be church. I'm finished up today. We got to be church. We got to connect people to Jesus. You know how you do that? Be you in Christ. And don't be anybody else. That makes sense? I can't be Pastor Keith. You know, he's cool. He's got hair that stands up, and he can make notes. If y'all heard me sing, everybody leave the church instantly. Let's do what we're supposed to do. Makes sense? We got people doing all kinds of cool things, but guess what? You can't do the best things till you get saved. You can do good things without Jesus. You just can't do anything that'll last. Now, I want you to be careful. We're living in another moment of time. Listen to how I said that. Not a new moment of time. Everything you see going on in the world today is as old as hell. Literally. Because it's the schemes of the devil. We have always been conned. What does the Bible say to describe the devil? He's a father of what?
Lies.
So when you start hearing a bunch of lies, which spirit is engaged? Y'all better know this so you don't get stung. You know what? I love you enough to tell you that if you get around a hornet's nest, it's going to hurt if you don't know what to do. As believers, you better wake up. When you're around people that lie all the time, they're under the influence of the demonic. Because what does the demonic do all the time? Why does the demonic lie? So you can die. And what happens is, when we lie all the time, we lose the truth, and thus we'll lose our way. And when we lose our way, then we're vulnerable to any way. But Jesus says, I'm the truth, the way, and the what? Life. He's the way in to live. Now, we got to be ready. Stay out of lies. Here's the truth. Let's look at some truths that we're going to connect to. I'm asking you today to come and make a decision to be convinced that Jesus will save you. I'm going to ask you to do something that I think is extraordinarily beautiful. How many of y'all care about somebody else besides yourself? Yeah, care about them. Number three, it's time to commit. As time moves on, this is my prediction. You want to hear my prediction? In 10 years, we won't have large churches. We'll just have real committed ones. There's going to be a season. God's going to shake the church. And guess what? Those who kind of believe will be shook out. And those who believe will stay in. Every once in a while, you got to make a cut. I know that's totally foreign to y'all. But back in the old days, not everybody got to participate. The ones that couldn't do it didn't get to do it. And back in the old days, like if you failed a class, they gave you an F. That meant you took it again. If you failed it a second time, guess what? You got a new career. You didn't get to drop half your college education and take it over again so that you were 50 years old still in a 4-year degree. And guess what else we didn't do? We didn't pay for your rent if you decided to be a loafer. You lived in a pup tent. Eventually you got tired of living in a pup tent. You did a radical thing. You went and got a job. This is real. This is the world we live in today. We think we can save each other better than allowing Jesus to save us. And we're going to crash just like Rome did, just like the Ottoman Empire did, just like Greece did, just like all the people who would rather worship under the golden calf than the commandments of the Lord. Man, we got to be sinners who have repented. First of all, guess what? Today, if you never asked Jesus Christ to forgive you, I'd ask him. How many of y'all realize we've all sinned, fallen short of the glory of God? Not some of us, all of us. How many of y'all realize it? Even good people, watch this. Watch this. I really want to make it clear. Do you all realize that there will be people who never drank a beer who will go to hell? I mean, they've never drunk a beer. They can stand there proudly before God and say, well, I've never drank a beer. Jesus will probably hand them a cold one and tell them you're going to need that where you're headed. Because what's this? Been a bunch of liars. It's not about that. But it is about this. Have I stood before an almighty, holy, righteous God and said, oh my God, I'm a sinner and I have not measured up what you made me to be. And God, I repent. I want to change. I want you to forgive me. Please come into my life. You ask God that. What's he going to do? What's he going to do, guys? Forgive, yeah, because Jesus, watch this. Here's what I love about Jesus. Y'all can decide for yourself. Jesus, the only leader, never lied to me. I've had preachers lie to me. My mama, God-fearing, blessed woman, has lied to me. She told me I was a good boy. It wasn't true, but she's my mama, and she was seeing with mom goggles. How many of y'all have ever coached a peewee sport? Who's the most dangerous people out there? You were one of them, bro. Yeah, who's the most dangerous people? I don't fear dads, because I look at dads when I was coaching. I said, hey, listen, your son ain't got nothing going on. He goes, I know. He said, you ain't going to convince my wife or his mama of that, so be careful because she'll kill you. She's done beat me down. I said, what happened? I told him he stunk the other day, and she lectured me for an hour and a half. You know why? She got mom goggles on. Now, dads get it with girls, especially when it comes to singing. How many of y'all have ever had a young lady, God-awful singing? I mean, singing that make you want to say, Lord, please, take her voice at least for a few minutes so we don't have to hear that anymore. And her dad's just sitting here like this. Isn't she lovely? And we're all going, no, she's not. See, we look through things through our perspective, and God comes to us at his perspective. Let me tell you what he says. He says, I won't forgive you, but you gotta wise up and say, Lord, here I am. I'm a sinner. I need to be forgiven. Some of y'all going to do that here in just a minute. Now, those of us that have already done that, do you care that somebody else goes with you? Listen, I want you all to bring a friend to the baptistry before you leave the planet. So quit telling me about how mature you are and how deep your faith is when you won't do the second thing Jesus asked you to do. After he saves you, so you can't do nothing about that. He's got to do that. He asks you to be baptized. That's an act of obedience. And then guess what? He has this thing called the Great Commission. It's not called the Great Suggestion. It's not called the Great Temporary Plan. It's not called, oh, gee, if you're really cool, do this. And if you're not as cool, don't do this. This is for every believer. He said, now go tell them what I've done. Show them who I am. Train them in my ways. And by the way, I'm with you till I come back to the end of the age. If we just did that, we'd live in a different world. So you know what? Since I'm convinced of that, let's just do that. Today, some of you need to come. You need to get obedient. You need to get in baptism. Some of you today need to get obedient and say, Lord, I've gotten so distracted about how great I'm going to be for you, I've forgotten to just be good where I am, like at home. Make sense? Ladies, I appreciate all your prayer life, but guess what? Don't go running off praying so much that you're not taking care of your children at home. You can pray at the house. Do you realize that? Do y'all know you can clean your house and pray at the same time? Do y'all know you can mow the yard and pray at the same time? Did y'all know you can run an executive office and pray at the same time? Did y'all know you can be a public school teacher? And if I was one, I'd be praying all the time. I'd say, Lord, you know little Johnny. If you did make him, take him out now. He's disturbed my class long enough. What if you had that kind of prayer warrior? Church, let's make it happen. Amen. Let's stand together. We got to decide today. This altar is here. We're finishing up a little bit early so the altar can go as long as possible. Amen, Garrett. It's God's work, man. We're changing a little bit around here. Let's pray. Right now, some of you, you know Jesus has spoken to you today. Your spirit, it resonates with his spirit. I love you, but listen, I love you. Elizabeth loves you. I love every one of you. I don't want any of you to go to hell, I promise. You know what frustrates me every Sunday? Here's the reason I'm so crazy. One side of me jumps up and down for those of you that have received Jesus. And the other side of me breaks and mourns for 2 or 3 days to watch Jesus Christ speak to several of you. And you walk right out of that back door unsaved. You know what I pray? God, please don't blow the horn this week. I wish other Christians, guess what? I believe there's going to be a day we're going to have to beg for mercy. Here's what saddens me. I have to keep myself accountable. Do I care enough about my friends that I've shared the gospel with them in case God was going to come back tomorrow? Here's the only reason we don't want to share the gospel with our friends. We're scared they won't like us anymore. That's the bottom line. So we're willing to live eternally separated from them because they don't like us for a moment. Let's pray. Father, as you search our hearts, that's the place where secret sin, where questions that we would dare not ask in public reside. Lord, speak to those places today. If you've never asked Jesus in your life, my friend, my fellow human being, fellow creation of God, his name is Jesus. He speaks. Even in the 21st century, he's real. And he will be here long after we have faded. And he speaks to all that he loves, that is you. Confess to him and repent of your sins. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. And Lord, I want you to save me, Jesus. I am sorry. I receive you. I believe you died on a cross and have risen from a grave. I receive you, Jesus. He'll save you. Only he can save you. If you've prayed that prayer maybe this week, maybe just right now, the next step is obedience and baptism. Just come forward. Our pastors are right here. And say, Pastor, guess what? Jesus has saved me, but I need the church to baptize me. And I'm going to be baptized into Jesus Christ, crucified and resurrected, and he alone. So come. Maybe say, well, Pastor Ayers, when I was a baby, they put a drop of water on my head, and I think I'm good. Well, first of all, I don't think you're as good as you think you are. Secondly, I'm so thankful for your mother and father that put a drop of water in your head. You know what they were saying by that? We want to make sure that you know Jesus. I would come on now at this age where you can make your own decision and say, you know what, Mom and Dad? Jesus Christ has saved me. He's found me. And I want to confirm that by being buried in Christ and risen in Christ and a testimony to Christ. Now, church believers, sometimes we get proud of what little we do. Watch this. I'm not picking on anybody. I just want you to see the power of God here, okay? I just want you to see the vision. Please don't get mad for a moment. Just see the vision. Not everybody here shares the gospel. In fact, at Hillview, guess what? About 5% of the population shared the gospel. Can you imagine what would happen if just another 5 shared it? We don't tithe. Can you imagine what would be done if we really tithed in the church? You know what the average tithe in the evangelical church in America is? 2.3%. So parents, don't fuss when your children live in a hellish world. We invested in hell. And you get what you invest in. But guess what? Generation. Do you hear the spirit of Joshua and the spirit of Caleb? And the spirit of those that say, wait a minute, we're going to stand up and we're going to live. live differently, and we're going to preach the gospel, watch this, in grace and love and peace, without obnoxious paraphernalia. And one by one, we're going to see our friends won to Christ, and they're going to win their friends. And instead of having a movement that we've advertised, we're going to wake up one day and be in the mighty wind of God. One person at a time. One gospel story at a time. Let's let it roll. Lord, your Spirit's been saving people since early this morning. And it'll be going on long after this afternoon's over. Lord, those that need to be baptized, bring them today. Lord, for those that just need to come to Christ, bring them today. For those that need to be healed, bring them today. For every marriage that's off and out of sync, heal it today. Lord, may this altar be yours today. Church, it's open. And this altar's for everybody. That whosoever would believe in him shall not perish, but will have an everlasting life. I invite you to live. So come on right now, come on. Come on, followers, believers. You do not have to be a member of this church to come to the altar. This altar is provided by Jesus Christ for any human being. No matter what their situation or their place of origin, no matter what their sin, that they would come and hear Jesus. Thank you.